This either is, has been, or will be a Krypton Radio production as soon as we can get the TARDIS working properly to figure out which one it is!
The Mark of the Corsair, fantastic bloke. He had that snake as a tattoo in every regeneration. Didn't feel like himself unless he had the tattoo or herself a couple of times. Woohoo! She was a bad girl!
And so are we!
This is almost frightening. There's three of us again.
Yay!
I'm afraid! Help me! Just kidding. You are in the Corsair's closet. I'm the mad woman with a box. Right over here. Just imagine which direction I'm pointing in. You have the awful husband, aka the NASA nerd. And over yonder, again, just envision the fantastic places I'm pointing at. We have the Time Siren.
Hello!
So we're all here, all three of us again, in one location. You'll have to forgive me if I'm a little bit raspy. I'm recovering from the Talarian flu. We have some pretty awesome stuff to talk about, so why don't we just get the ball rolling? Where do we want to get started?
Oh, anywhere but this darn entertainment unit we are all trying to screw in a light bulb with, which is why time and space brought us all together in the same spot. It takes three people to put up a home entertainment center and it ain't working.
Yes, that's right. Time Siren and Awful Husband have upgraded the unit that they have in their room here in the TARDIS.
We're trying to upgrade it.
Well, we can actually watch Doctor Who in color now.
Yes, there you go.
Wait, are we in color before? What are you talking about?
No, he's talking about additional colors. I believe the Corsair picked up this set on, what was it, Venus? Or was it Cirrus 17?
That's right.
I think it was...
They have colors that...
Why is Canoga Parkus?
There you go.
Yes.
There you go.
They have colors there you can actually taste.
Yes. So. Well, you know what the problem is. The reason we haven't been able to do this is because we need time and a crayon. We have time. We're in a TARDIS. Corsair, can you figure out if you have any crayons laying around?
Yes, please.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
She's looking through her box of 64.
My different color Sharpies didn't count?
Alas, no. You need an actual crayon.
Yeah.
So, while she's looking through her 64 deluxe box with the little sharpener, let us go to the news. And I'm looking here, and it appears that we are going to be discussing the latest spinoff, or the first spinoff, of the Harry Potter universe.
Yes, Fantastic Beasts will be a trilogy, and... Following in the footsteps of the Hobbit franchise, Warner Brothers is planning three mega movies, oh big surprise, for J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter spinoff, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
This could prove interesting, because I'm not a huge Harry Potter fan, but I read the first four books, and I haven't been able to finish the series, and I've seen most of the movies. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them is one of the textbooks in the Harry Potter universe. It's something that, Harry and Hermione and Ron, they studied from this book. And I'm actually not sure if it was published or not. There were a couple of the textbooks within the Harry Potter universe that Rowling actually published as separate books. They're very small, and she did it to support the UK version of Comic Relief.
Oh.
And,
I see what this is. They persuaded Rowling to revive the Harry Potter movie magic by adapting her Hogwarts textbook.
Yes.
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them for the big screen. Yeah.
Yes, and actually, according to our source here in Variety, it says she wrote the 54-page book in 2001 between publications of the fourth and fifth Potter books. That's the one I'm talking about. Ah. She did that and another one. I don't remember the name, but they're basically the textbooks, and the proceeds from the sales of those books went to support Comic Relief in the UK.
Oh, nice.
I believe they're the same people that do the Red Nose Day.
Mm. Yes, I think they are. Yes.
So, yeah. And I actually got one of them way back in the day, and it was really, like, a fun little piece of the Harry Potter universe to have. I believe there was even an introduction from Albus Dumbledore or something like that, for
nice.
The umpteenth edition. Yeah, I'm actually curious to see how they're going to take that and spread it into a trilogy. It seems a little mind-blowing to me.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So that's going to be fun to see how they pull that off. I've heard a little bit that they're going to get into the life and times of the writer of the book, Newt Scamander, I think is his name?
Hmm. Okay.
It's probably told from his point of view.
Exactly,
something
yeah.
Something like that.
So, generations before, and it'll probably use, Hogwarts and the Harry Potter universe as sort of a framing device.
Yeah.
For, you start there and then you delve into the story of Newt Scamander and his wacky adventures in actually writing the book.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be fun to check out.
I can see that. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. I think that could be a lot of fun to check out. I mean, again, I still don't see how they're going to turn it into a trilogy, but...
Well, you know, The Hobbit was one book, and they turned that into a trilogy.
Yeah, but it's The Hobbit, and look at all the material you got to work off with, and the actors, and, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch, and doing the motion capture. You know, there's a lot more to work with, though. You got the action scenes and all that. You can definitely pad that into a trilogy.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to The Hobbit to begin with, but there's not a lot to Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yeah, they said they hope to develop a franchise. Yeah, that's Hollywood for you. Let's make money out of it.
Well,
of course.
It's a business, yeah. They want to make money out of it.
Okay.
I mean, heck, I'm
on a righteous tirade here. Don't blow my bubble. Yes.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Yes, we are angry they're trying to give us movies we want to see.
Yes, how dare they?
How dare they create new and fun-filled things?
How totally freaking dare they? Okay. So, let me go back to our list because I want to talk about, we're going to skip this thing here. And yes, I know you're seeing that there on the air. You're not supposed to. Is a secret. Okay, Gaslight Gathering. Let's talk about that because it looks like NASA Nerd and I may be jetting off to that.
Really? See, I'm not super familiar with Gaslight Gathering. What's the deal?
Well, first of all, are you familiar with steampunk?
I am, sort of. Most of what I know about steampunk, I know through you, dear NASA nerd.
Well, basically, for anybody out there who's not familiar with steampunk...
Why not?
Really, where you been? It's basically Victorian-era science fiction. Think of, like, 20,000 Leagues Under Sea, Time Machine. Of course, when Jules Verne's H.G. Wells wrote those are just science fiction. Now, looking back at them, we call them steampunk. And it's called steampunk because at that time, steam power was the major power source of the time.
Yes, electricity did not develop. It was kind of like an alternate universe.
Right, well, okay.
You have steampunk, then you have dieselpunk, which is where diesel engines came into power and left steam behind. And that's where you get things like... was it Captain something in the World of Tomorrow?
Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow.
That's diesel punk. Because you look at the airplanes, it's all kind of World War II-ish.
Okay.
So that's diesel punk.
Okay.
And then, of course, everybody probably knows cyberpunk, which is the cyber realm. Ghost in the Shell kind of thing.
Yeah.
Max Headroom would kind of fit in there.
Yeah, maybe even Tank Girl?
Tank Girl, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so now I'm getting it.
Tanker is more apocalyptic because there's...
Yeah, it's post-apocalypse.
Because it doesn't have the cyberness in it.
Yeah, that's true.
So
yeah, it's more survival mode.
Whatever punk, that's whatever is the driving force of technology at the time.
Right, so it's basically a framing device for different categories of science fiction in terms of technological development.
Yes, different eras of technology.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, there you go. I understand a little bit better.
Okay, so Gaslight Gathering 4 is going to be May 2nd through 4th. It's going to be at the Town and Country Hotel in San Diego, California. It's popular enough that they've sold out some of their tickets for their special events. Their Sunday tea is sold out, for example. And VIP tickets are sold out. So I'm not sure exactly how many people this attracts, but it attracts enough that... it's become a thing, and it's growing, and it's the world that Dennis wants to frame his books and screenplays in.
Yeah, that's the trilogy I'm writing right now.
Oh, okay.
And if you're not familiar with San Diego or the Town and Country Inn, first of all, Gaslight Gathering is a sister convention to Condor, which is a very long-running science fiction convention down there. It's kind of their equivalent to Los Angeles' LostCon.
Okay.
And so they're also doing Gaslight Gathering, and I think it's only like 3 or 4 years old. It's not that old. But it's done by people who know how to run conventions.
Okay, okay.
And the Town and Country Inn is a gorgeous, it's like a city unto itself. It's very spread out. It's not like one building. There is maybe a 12 or 13 story building in there, which has the convention center accommodations. But it's also, it's got bungalows, so it's like little small rooms you can rent.
It's beautiful.
It's got its own really little village, and then it has salons and barbershops and shops.
Oh,
and
my.
And this is all within the Town and Country Inn.
Yeah, yes. So you can stay there
That's
for a week.
That's totally cool.
Time.
It's huge. So let's talk about who's going to be there. Yeah. Confirmed panelists and presenters. I'm just going to run through a couple of these. Ruslan Batenko is the owner of Dark Prince Studios, a San Diego-based prop company that specializes in arms and armor. Guest of honor Dan Benedict is the founder of Derby Kinetic, a kinetic art studio with work ranging from large-scale interactive machine art to animatronic cosplay.
Oh.
He's active in the California steampunk community. Let's see here. Edward Benowitz, this is interesting, is a part of the operations team for Curiosity, NASA's newest Mars rover.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I actually see a familiar name there on that list, David Codalesa, who, he has actually done some work with the Losfis, in recent, times. They were doing a workout, series for a while to try and help the sci-fi fans get in, shape. And, yeah, he was running the workouts for a while there, and I've talked to him, I think, maybe once, but he seems like a really nice guy.
Yeah. Colleen Crosby, she's been making costumes for over 20 years. She's past president of Costumers Guild West and past dean of Costume College with a steampunk theme. She's been a creator, producer, costumer for Lux Theater Productions, has been acting since the tender age of 4.
Yeah, and her husband, Sean Crosby, the two of them do mostly Star Wars costumes and Jedi and that kind of thing, and Sean took a car and made it look like an A-Wing. And just recently, saw on Facebook, that car went into a photo session for Cover Magazine.
Oh, my gosh.
Did it?
Yes.
Nice.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So let's go over quickly some of the events at Gaslight. They're going to have a floating flea market. Not really floating, but if you have items that you want to give a good home, you can take these. That's Saturday morning only. A Friday night concert, a gentleman's steampunk and Victorian fashion show, an art salon, a Martian maker room. This is the Martian Science Academy seeks many of mechanical contrivances to be placed on an exhibit. Mysteries of the Mind show, Saturday steampunk tea with Professor Elemental, and I know some people out there are going to know him. Vendor Hall, War of the Worlds, Saturday Night Ball, lots of fun stuff going on there. Basically, if you really like steampunk, this is the place to be. Why have you made plans for anything else this weekend?
And this is big for steampunk costuming.
Yeah.
To that.
Big, big,
and if
big.
You look at their vendors, they have people that vend hats, with the steampunk glasses and all that.
Yeah, like Millers and stuff.
Just Victorian clothing. If you just want period clothing without the steampunkiness, you have that. They have classes on different things, hats, costumes, corsets, whatever, look for a list. But, and all the vendors, you can click on the websites and click on the connections and go to their sites.
Yeah.
And you can see all the different stuff they have.
Butterfly frillies, corsets, feathery, leathery, Gears and Roebuck. That's a cute name. Mad Girl Clothing. Mad Girl Clothing.
Yeah, I wonder if they're distant cousins of mine.
They could be. Seven Deadly Fairies, Boss Wench, Brass Wardrobe, Mystical Apothecary, Tyrannical, Piratical. Piratical Treasures. Lots of fun names here for fun people, I'm sure. So, tons of fun. Beautiful hotel. Get there or be square. It's a chance to show your costume off.
And if you're familiar with San Diego, it's in Hotel Circle, which is like 20 minutes away from everything else, which includes
it's very convenient.
Zoo, Balboa Park, which has a myriad of different museums.
Yeah.
It's not that far away from the San Diego Convention Center, which hosts Comic-Con.
Yeah.
But connected to that, right across the street from that, is a Gaslamp District, which has tons of great restaurants.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Including a Spitty Factory we always go to.
That sounds like fun. If I were able to travel, I would probably be joining you guys.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. And I even saw some mentions of magicians that are going to be there, mentalists.
Yes.
And
yes,
I've always found mentalism to be a fascinating aspect of magic. One I'm not very good at, unfortunately, but, I'm working on it.
Yeah. So, have we talked about International Tabletop Day, the blast we had there?
Oh, I don't think we have.
Oh, you guys both?
Yeah.
We did.
Oh, tell me. I wasn't able to go.
That was fun.
Okay, so it was last weekend. It was over at Clockwork Couture in Burbank.
Which we have covered in our previous broadcast.
Joshua is fantastic. He sat down with us and played Kings of Tokyo, where we were monsters trying to conquer and destroy everything and everyone else, mostly each other.
Fun.
I was a giant mech rabbit.
Yes, he was a cyber bunny, and there were other...
Is that different from a Trojan rabbit?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, Godzilla! So it was loads of fun. They had prizes they gave away. Will Wheaton had come around the day before, signed a bunch of cards. The various companies, Will Wheaton's reps went to them, had them design up special cards for tabletop day to integrate with their existing games. So you could add them to your particular card games.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
It was fun, and I highly recommend it. They have a Star Wars Day coming up soonish in May, and it's Star Wars card games. It's the same weekend as Gaslight Gathering. So for all you non-steampunkers, go instead to this, and it will be fun. And Donna and Joshua, the owners, are awesome. And wow, I don't know what can I say?
I think it's going to be a regular hangout. Like once a month, we're going to go down there, because once a month they have some kind of event, a game event, or they had a Doctor Who weekend. So they always have something going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to start spending more time down there, because, oh my freaking God, I can't say enough good things about Clockwork Couture.
Yeah. And it's on 707 Main Street in Burbank. And if you're familiar with Burbank or the LA area, it's literally about four blocks up from the Equestrian Center.
Yeah.
So if you know where the Equestrian Center is, you can find it really easy.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yes, exactly. There you go. So, you know what I want to do now? I want to kind of break this up, and I want to talk really quick about the movies we'd seen, because Mad Woman has seen something, NASA Nerd and I just saw something.
And actually, you know what? I do have a Behind the Curve mention for after we've talked about current movies. I just did think about it right now. It's something I saw maybe a couple weeks ago, back when I was still stuck on Planet Personal Crisis.
Okay.
You know, fortunately, they do get cable, so I was able to check something out.
So let's go backwards in time here. We'll start with Rio 2 because it just opened today. If you saw Rio 1... Oh my God, you've got to go see Rio 2. It is adorable. And DreamWorks has outdone itself. The dancing by the Blumikas is absolutely breathtaking. It's absolute ballet. I think it blows Under the Sea completely out of the water. Little Mermaid, it left it in the dust. It's so beautiful.
That's the first thing she told me when we walked out of the theater.
Yeah, is that trumped it. And of course, we saw a preview. There are two previews here that have just come out recently for the new How to Train Your Dragon 2 movie, and they have a spoiler in there that if you don't want to hear it, I wish I could squee about it, but it just makes you go, oh!
I actually have seen, I've probably seen one of those trailers, so I do.
So don't mention the spoiler.
I won't mention the spoiler, but I have seen the spoiler, and yeah, you're right.
And it's you go, huge. Oh!
Yeah. I just went, oh!
And there are spoilers about Toothless, and it is just wow.
Okay, that's a different trailer then. I don't think I saw any spoilers about Toothless.
There is one thing, and we will show you later.
Okay.
You don't get to see it, sorry. And actually, you will. We will put a link in our show notes for that, of course.
Yes.
Like everything else, like for Gaslight Gathering and
such.
What's
the website, like howtotrainyourdragon.com or something?
It's just howtotrainyourdragon.com.
Yes, and you can see the trailers there.
Yes, they're wonderful. So, I think they only have trailer 2 on there. Trailer 1 also has something, so I will put that special link on there, because that was from a different website. But yes, go see Rio 2. It is fun. There are lots
of
wonderful voice actors in there. The old guy, McCaw, is a hoot, and I don't remember the name, the voice actor's name.
I can't remember right now.
But boy, there was some good stuff in there.
And Rita Moreno was in there. I hadn't heard from her.
Rita Moreno? Really?
Yes.
Oh my God, I love her.
Yes, it is absolutely fantabuloid.
Not only was she in Oz, which was a show I grew up watching. Yes, I was a kid and I watched Oz on HBO. That's one of the reasons I'm so demented now. But also, West Side Story is one of my favorite musicals ever, and she played Anita in the movie.
That's one of her biggest roles, yeah.
Speaking of plays, we saw a preview for a remake of, or a retelling of Annie as a movie, and it's beautiful. It's going to be a Christmas story.
Really?
And it's,
is that the one Will Smith's involved in?
Was that Will Smith?
I've actually heard a lot about it. Apparently, his daughter Willow at one point was supposed to play Annie.
Yeah.
And she actually pulled out of it.
Oh. Yeah, but it is the character of Annie is a little black girl, and she's adorable. She steals the show.
You know,
absolutely.
At first, I thought, well, probably remake it, because the original movie wasn't that long ago. But this really is a different retelling.
Yeah,
The original Annie movie was really a stage play filmed. This is really a different story. You can tell there are elements, you know, emotional elements and relationship elements.
Yeah, it's very sweet.
Huh, okay. Yeah. So that could be interesting. That could definitely be interesting.
Yes, I want to see that. I mean, at first, that's just Annie again. I want to see it, but not you, because it's really a different story.
Yeah, okay. It'll be a nice Christmas movie. So, hurtling backward in time here, let's go to your review, Madwoman.
Yes. It's actually a dual review, because I can't review one without reviewing the other. I'll start by saying, if you're a fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe like I am, the recent airings of both Captain America the Winter Soldier and the latest episode of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
is a holy crap moment.
Not only is it a holy crap moment, but it's a shining example of why Marvel is just... The company has been so brilliant in terms of weaving together this nuanced, immense, and really engaging multimedia world, which spans comic books, now TV, movies, shorts. There's so much, and they've interconnected everything so beautifully.
Yeah.
I'll start with Captain America the Winter Soldier, and I'll try to keep this as spoilery-free as possible.
Spoilery-free.
Spoiler-free. Yes, bear with me, like I said, the Telerian flu. Anyway, Chris Evans' performance is impeccable, as ever. Anthony Mackie took on the role of Sam Wilson, a.k.a. the Falcon. And I won't spoil it for you, although you've probably seen some of it in the previews. The way they've kind of reimagined the Falcon character, I believe, I'm not familiar with him from the comics, but I believe Falcon used to be part of his name. They've done something different with that. He is a brilliant actor, and he played the part very well. Evans and Mackie bounce off of each other like they've been best friends their entire lives. The banter is great. There's a lot of quips and stuff being traded.
Good chemistry is important.
Yeah, the chemistry is fantastic. We get to see Agent Romanoff again in this movie. And, again, to try to be spoilery, non-spoilery as possible, we are actually... I heard from people that they were laying some groundwork in this movie for a possible Black Widow movie in the future.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
They were not lying. They ask some questions, we get some insight, and there's definitely... They're throwing some crumbs down for a possible Black Widow movie.
Hmm.
As I understand it from some of the stuff I've read, we may actually get some serious Black Widow backstory in Avengers Age of Ultron.
Okay.
But again, it could springboard into a Black Widow movie, which I know something that fans everywhere have been praying for. Because Scarlett Johansson as Natasha Romanoff, she brilliant actress, brilliantly played part, and a really strong female presence on screen. You know,
Very cool.
Strong, empowered female presence. Now, here's where me being impressed with Marvel's nuance to this world begins. If you've been watching Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and this might be slightly spoilery, so I will warn you in advance, but I won't give any details as to what's going on. There is a character that appears in Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. pretty frequently. Not this week's episode, but the week before. He made an appearance, he was involved in the storyline, then he got called away on a mission. And so, we saw him leave before anything major happened. Captain America the Winter Soldier opens by showing us where this agent went.
Well, this is the mission.
He was involved in the beginning of the movie, and he's a critical character throughout the course of Captain America the Winter Soldier.
Oh.
He has a major part in the movie.
Okay.
And then the big plot point in the movie, which I can't spoil for you, it heads up this week's episode of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the one that we just saw. The episode is called Turn, 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 for those who have it TiVo'd. The plot point begins the episode, and from there, we basically are watching the Marvel Cinematic Universe as we know it change forever.
Yeah, it kind of goes to hell in a handbasket.
That's one way of putting it. again, I won't spoil this for you, but I will say that something happens on the show that nobody saw coming. And
not even you?
Never me.
Wow.
Not ever me. something happens to a much-loved character and a much-loved relationship on the show. And anybody who follows it closely trust me, you don't know who I'm talking about. it came out of nowhere, but based on the stuff that I've read, this is what happened. This is how brilliant Marvel is. When Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. began filming, the Captain America team basically went to them and said, this is what we're doing for Winter Soldier. This is the plot of the movie. Have at it. From the beginning of the series, they began building towards this turning point that we saw this past Tuesday.
Ooh.
So with this advanced information, the actor involved, and I'm using actor as a blanket term, so, you know, to prevent any spoilers, the actor involved was not told about what was happening to their character until maybe two or three episodes ago in terms of filming. So that person went through the filming thinking something was happening with their character. Then about two or three episodes ago, in terms of the chronology of the show, they sat this person down and said, okay, this is what's actually going on with your character, and this is where you're going to end up. And this actor went with it from that point on. So we actually, literally, there was no way anybody could have seen this coming. And all I will say about what happened is that I forgot that I was watching a Joss Whedon show. And
is it good or bad?
What does it usually mean?
That has certain meanings.
Yeah. What does it usually mean if you're watching a Joss Whedon show? Yeah. But seriously, the game has changed drastically. I wish you guys had at least seen Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But if you watch the show with any kind of regularity, if you watch the Marvel movies with any sort of, you know, fandom like I do, everything you know is now wrong. Everything has changed.
Everything you know is wrong.
Black is white, up is down, and short is long.
Okay, we just slipped in the Weird Al Yankovic time stream here.
I'm telling you, these two are deeply connected. If you have not seen Winter Soldier yet, you might want to
get your butts out there and do it.
Yeah, you might want to TiVo the next two or three episodes of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
But don't tell us what you did at LostFest at the 4,000th meeting, which is our next topic, and don't say you can't see one without the other. Because you can only do that if you're in the TARDIS and you can have two time streams crossing at the same time.
I will correct myself. Don't see one unless you have already seen the other.
Okay.
So that makes more sense. Yeah.
Wait a minute. No, it doesn't. It doesn't, because when you look at one, you automatically have either seen or not seen the other. So either way, you're covered.
Unless you happen to have turned on your TiVo not being forewarned.
All right. So one, in your opinion, would be the best one to see first?
Captain America: The Winter Soldier.
Okay. Are we doing it right then?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Let's move on because we got a time schedule.
She just reminded me something talking about Joss Whedon. I don't know if you've been up on the news, but Netflix has bought the rights to reboot Firefly.
No way!
Oh, wow.
They're rebooting it?
Well, they're not rebooting it. They're continuing it. They bought the rights to keep making more.
What do you mean continuing it? They're killed people.
Well, they killed half the crew, but the other half survived.
Wait, I don't understand. Nathan Fillion is on Castle on ABC.
This is the news that's been coming out.
Unless they're going to kill his character off of Castle.
No. No.
But he'll live on in Firefly.
No, but I mean both. Now that I know Richard Castle.
No. You can't be greedy. No.
But no.
That.
My mind is so blown right now.
Well, you know, Netflix makes their own projects.
Yeah,
now.
I'm a huge fan of Orange is the New Black.
And now they're...
You know, the Firefly people have been tenacious like pit bulls. It's about time they got rewarded. Bless their hearts. Bless their freaking hearts.
You really can't stop the signal.
No, you can't.
I tell you, I hated that series, but more power to them if they got this thing revised.
Oh my god. The only question I've got is how?
Hey, I always wondered, I mean, okay, we're fans, we love the series.
Yeah.
But from a network point of view, it's a series that lasted one season and failed. How does a failed series get a movie?
This is true.
Oh, but somebody pulled some strings there big time, let me tell you.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Moving on here.
Now we can move
on. Let's move on. I know it's shocking and all, but if you can talk other than doing what, why, review your behind the curve and let's keep moving on.
Well, we'll keep it brief. While I was on Planet Personal Crisis, I actually got to watch Pacific Rim. A friend of mine, he's heavy into one of the characters in the movie, and she encouraged me to check it out, so I did. And it's a really great movie. It's fantastic. there is a distinct lack of romance in this movie, but it's on purpose, and it's done, you know, with an ultimate goal in mind, and it shows this beautiful. It focuses on relationships, basically. At the core of the movie, there are these Godzilla-like monsters that are trying to take over the world, pretty much. So when you were talking about the Godzilla monsters, it made me think of Pacific Rim. They call them kaiju. Uh-huh. And
Gesundheit.
Thank you. There's literally a breach in the Pacific Ocean, you know, Pacific Rim,
right.
Where these kaiju are springing from. And every time they attack, you know, they destroy everything, blah, blah, blah. So the human race built these...
As mad as hell, won't take it anymore.
Exactly. So they built these super robots to destroy them, but one person cannot run these robots. It's too much for their brain to handle connecting directly to the system. Mm. So they developed a system involving teams of two or more.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is, to operate the machine, these two individuals, again, two or more, have got to link mentally. Like, they have to establish, like, a neural link between the two of them, so they're basically sharing a consciousness.
Okay, that's a rather personal territory there.
It really is, and in order to do this, the two people have got to be what they call drift compatible. And the drift is the sharing of the consciousness. And a lot of this is achieved through common memories. A lot of these teams, they're brothers and sisters or husbands and wives. There's a set of triplets that runs one of these machines.
Oh, you see, now that was never in the trailer. That makes it more interesting for
me.
Yes, so, it does.
Yeah, and, you know, to you know, lock up in the drift, they do something that's called a neural handshake.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a lot of it's based on relationships. You have to be drift compatible with somebody in order to run one of these things. They're called Jaegers. Mm-hmm. Or Jaegers, I think it is. I'm mispronouncing it. I know I am. But the movie focuses on this one Jaeger pilot who was teamed with his brother. They went up against the kaiju, and his brother was killed while they were linked. Mm. So he had to, like, run the machine on his own to get to safety, and he gave it up after that. Flash forward, they need him again to pilot one of these things, and they have to find him a new pilot. It turns out to be this woman. I think the character's name is Mako, or Maki. Again, I'm not remembering very well. But you see how it all comes together. To find out if they're drift compatible, they basically spar with each other. So there's a fight scene, but Guillermo del Toro, the director, he actually filmed it as though he were filming a love scene to kind of show this relationship developing between these two people. And there, you know, there's no focus on romance, not really. There's some allusions towards the end. But it's really more about these two people who connect on a personal level, forming a relationship and learning to trust each other in order to save themselves and save the human race.
Oh, cool.
And
oh, cool. Well, save some details for people that haven't seen it yet. Yeah. Like us! Yes, like
but,
us.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Definitely check it out.
Yeah.
And don't be scared by the fact that it's a monster movie or anything like that. Del Toro himself said that he wanted to avoid... glamorizing violence of any sort, so there's a lot of visuals of people being sent to shelters when they're attacked by the monsters. They don't glamorize the military aspect in any way, shape, or form. The names and ranks of all the people in the movie, they're all very much drawn from, like, Westerns and stuff like that. There's Rangers and Jaeger pilots. There's no captains and corporals and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no immense gore, and, like, the violence is it's stylized, as it were. So don't be scared off by it being a monster movie. Trust
okay.
me.
Okay.
You will enjoy this.
Okay. Okay, great. Really, the only other thing I had on my list, because we are absolutely in a drought of costuming news right now, I was just kind of goofing around on the net, and I saw a link to something really cool. It's called the Baywex Tapestry, and it's done by an artist that we've seen before, Mudron. He did the Mooka-type t-shirts, one with River standing over 11 with a knife in her hand of Amy, and you know, I don't know if you're familiar with Alphonse Mucha, but you've seen his stuff before. What I thought was beautiful about this particular piece that he did is it's 24 by 36 inches. It's printed on 100-pound premium matte cardstock. It's done like a parchment, and it shows the life of the Doctor. From him leaving Gallifrey with Susan all the way up to the Day of the Doctors. And it's a beautiful print. I'm actually probably going to put this image on the website because it's really kind of freaking awesome. But I'm going to go back really quick here to his website, if I can. Okay, so it's done by Bill Mudron. He's a freelance artist cartoonist who's hiding out somewhere in the forest of the Pacific Northwest. Ooh. He has created artwork for Disney Interactive Studios, Bad Robot Productions, Dark Horse Comics, Nintendo Power, Electronic Gaming Monthly, Random House, blah, 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 blah. Lather, rinse, rather repeat.
Resume goes on for miles and miles.
Yes, yes. And he's done some gorgeous t-shirts. Like I've said, there's one here that's kind of a steampunky type. But I will scroll down here on here and you will go, oh, it's that guy. There we go. Ooh. You have seen this before.
I actually have never seen
Art
this before.
Art Deco, the 11th Doctor, his shirt. And the 10th Doctor.
Yes, I've seen those.
Yes,
I've never seen these before.
People
this
have worn
great.
These before. And the Doctor Who's.
Oh my God.
I've seen that on a t-shirt.
A mashup. Of Doctor Who, Levin's Doctor, and Dr. Seuss. Mr. Pond, Rory, of course. Amy is sold out, and she's never been reprinted. She sold out in a New York Minute.
Wow.
But he did do her, and it's done in a Mooka style. He has a beautiful, you know, lots of beautiful stuff on here. I love the Fezzes are cool one. It's very cute. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's a pretty impressive piece here, the Baywax Tapestry. It's $40. It is totally worth it. I would love to get one of these and then just put it in frames, but we have some other posters we're still trying to frame from Gallifrey, so one of these.
And limited wall space.
Yeah, incredibly limited wall space, but yeah, it's very cute, and it really does kind of look like Egyptianness here, which
that is just
floats
beautiful.
My boat.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm digging this, dude.
Yes. Yes, that's dude it to you. Yes. So, have we missed anything? Because that's all I got on my list.
Trying to think if I've got anything else to talk about. I'm having a drought of things to discuss since the show I'm currently fixated on, Teen Wolf, they just wrapped up their season, and oh my freaking God. Don't get anything new from them until June. Sad. Sad face.
Yeah, well, we'll have plenty to keep us busy once we get our entertainment unit set up, and I think we better go off and do that right now.
Yeah. Let me see if the Corsair's found that crayon for us yet. Corsair! Did you find that? No. Okay. While I totally respect the big, giant prop crayon thing, I don't think that's going to work for us. Does it? No, wait. That actually draws. Guys, I think we're in business.
Smells good, too.
Ooh, nice.
The Corsetteers would like to praise or lay waste the reputations of gritty Hollywood studios that give us Harry Potter spinoffs, San Diego steampunkers, Will Wheaton for giving us International Tabletop Day, Blue Birds in the Amazon, Mooka S, Doctor Who Animators, and Krypton Radio. This has been, was, or will be a Krypton Radio production. Please visit www.corsairs-closet.com for prior episodes, links to our social networks, show notes, and email addresses, and now our new blog. Also, we would really love to hear from you.